Well, before we start, I just thank you again to our worship team. What a great way to just usher us into the throne room, right? The throne room of God. I'm so appreciative of them and all their efforts. It takes a lot of work to make that sound like that. This doesn't happen, if we're honest. So let's pray. Father, just again, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and effective in piercing the hearts of those that need to hear it. We give you all the glory. We humbly approach you this morning being honest with each other, because we know that we grow as disciples when we drop the facade and stop pretending. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is the new series we're calling Rewired. You saw that, and that's a great visual of that, of rewiring your heart. We're looking at some of the problems that we face as human beings, and we're going to study some scriptures together this morning. And what I hope from that is that it's going to help us move from the resurrected Jesus that we just celebrated to help us rewire some of the patterns that are unhealthy in our lives. And it's going to be several topics over the next few weeks of some of those unhealthy things that need to be rewired. So our first focus is people problems. Do any of you have people problems in your life? Okay, that seems to be a foolish question because you all smiled instantly when I said that. And sometimes don't you wish you had the superpower to just teleport? The longer I live, I want to change the behavior that other people make, the dumb choices that they have in their lives. I just want to change the behaviors of other people. Well, we obviously can't. So today we're going to be looking how we can respond to people when we struggle with their actions in life. Because, you know, since we've all arrived at perfection in this room, we know the problem is never something we did. So we're going to learn how to deal with the rest of the world today. But in all seriousness, how do you respond when someone or something hurts you or hurts other people? There's a lot of answers to that. Today, I do want to focus in on one thing that we really haven't addressed in a long time. And we are going to do that week to week. This is the one thing, and so for the fun of it, I'm going to see if you can figure out what I'm talking about from this riddle. Here we go. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts. I ruin lives. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. My victims are helpless. I topple governments. I wreck marriages. I ruin careers. I make headlines. I make headaches. Even my own name hisses. Listen to me, for I am, any guesses? Gossip. Gossip. We're all susceptible to it, and we're all tempted by it. I shared with Michael this morning, my familiarity with you as my family, I don't know all of you deeply personally, but I do know this isn't a rampant problem here. But, as he and I described, it's that wolf at the door. We're always just one step away from saying that thing about the other person that isn't there to represent themselves. So that's why this is a dangerous word and a dangerous thing. As you become more spiritually mature, it's harder to fall into that trap. But I just want to acknowledge that I'm proud of you, because I can go into this message knowing that you are on that road to maturity and that you won't be immediately go to that word gossip. But also the realization that we're all susceptible and we're all tempted by it, right? So, because it's everywhere. If you think about it, all at its foundation, all news headlines are gossip. Why do you think scandal always gets the headlines, right? You go scroll through, you say, oh, really? I didn't know that actor did that. And what? You're not going to get the full story. How many times do I have to get fooled by that clickbait and go and read it and realize, oh, they're like me, but I wanted to have a worse impression of them than me. Doggone it, that didn't help me. So if you want someone's complete attention, all you need to say is this. I shouldn't tell you this, but. Yeah, you know, Kathleen got it before I even finished it. Yes, I shouldn't tell you this, but. People are going to hang on to every word, right? As soon as you say that word, but. Because we love gossip about hearing about somebody else messing up. Have you ever wondered why the phrase, it's none of my business, is always followed by the word but? We've all been there. You receive some juicy news about a classmate or a coworker of yours. You're one of the very few people who knows this information. So now the temptation is to find ways to bring the conversation around to the topic. You know, speaking of sunshine, did you hear that, you know, so-and-so, you know, got sunburn on every inch of their body? Not saying, I'm saying anymore. No, yeah. You may be asking, why do we say gossip is a sin? Why do I think that that is true? Isn't that harsh? I mean, what's wrong with passing on a little bit of information? Well, let me define gossip first. Maybe this will help. Gossip is talking about someone else's personal situation when you are not a part of the problem or solution. That's a really good definition, right? Again, gossip is talking about someone else's personal situation when you're not part of the problem or of the solution. Now, if you're saying something to put someone down or to make yourself feel better or look better, it's gossip. And that's the problem at the very heart of it. It slanders reputations faster than anything in the world. And the sinful part of us, that's why we love it so much, because we want to compare ourselves to a lower standard. Can you believe what he did? Right? Translation, I'm better than that. That's why it's bad for society. That's why it's consistently shows up throughout Scripture. Here's one. We're going to go through a few here. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. We could just stop there, but we're going to keep going. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And in describing who works for Satan, get this one. Paul says this in 1 Timothy, they learn to be lazy, moving about from house to house. They are also gossipers and say what they should not say. Now, this may be the toughest one of all. This comes from, we talked about James recently. Here he goes. Here goes James. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Whew, take a deep breath. It's very clear that gossip thing is destructive. Not just to our, and sad enough, destructive for our souls, but it's destructive for our culture. So let's get real. How do we stop doing that? How do we avoid that? When you get a piece of really juicy information, what should you do? Well, let's go back to the beginning. As you do, I'm going to show you an illustration of what we're about to read. We've got two buckets here. You notice them. Probably thought, did anybody check to see what was in there? Why would you not? Really? Why would you not? Because how many of you have ever been to a Globetrotters game? Yeah. Yeah. You know, so Dave, if I'm here and a buckets are here for illustration, I'm coming to check out the buckets. So I'm ashamed of all of you. You trust me. Or no, I'm thankful that you all trust me. There, I'll take that route. So with any relationship, when you get hurt or others get hurt by something that someone has done, we have one or two ways to respond. Think about when you have a fight with someone. Think of it like friction, right? That friction and tension, what does that cause? All you Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts? Fire. Cause fire. So one of the ways to respond to it is like one of these buckets. And let's say this one has water in it, right? And this one has gasoline in it. I'm going to have to remember that. Water and gasoline, I should have labeled them, but I'm not going to. Which do you pour on the fire happening between you and the person? Yeah, the churchy answer is water. It's actually what you should pour on that. And don't go to the thing as an electrical fire. Don't go there. Don't go all scientific on me. Let's just say it's a fire. So let's start one of the very first recorded examples of gossip in Scripture. We're going to go back to the days of Noah. He's building an ark. He was not a weak man. He was a strong man. And I'm sorry that Bill Cosby has fallen out of favor, but the Noah routine is brilliant. When he gets ridiculed by his neighbors for building an ark, they're mocking him. He's building this massive ship in the desert. What are you doing, Noah? Are you nuts? There's no water around here. Now keep in mind, it hasn't even rained on earth yet. Because there was a firmament in the sky, so no rain had occurred yet. I know that's hard to get your arms around, but just point being, him building an ark was really, on the surface, not a wise thing. The people had plenty to talk about, but it didn't stop Noah from building the ark. He had only known political pressure to this point in his life. The day came, the rains came upon the earth, the flood covered the highest mountain on the earth. No land, creature, or person survived except for who? Noah and his family and those animals on the ark. It's a fascinating story. I've also said I find it interesting that it's used in children's nurseries, such as ours, as a beautiful story. It's a horrendous story, because if you understand, out of this deal, eight people survived, okay? This is not a really good thing to hang in a nursery, but we do because we skip over that everybody else died part, because at least they got saved, right? It's gruesome. Death and destruction. Now, imagine you are on that ark with those other survivors. What kind of emotional and physical toll would you have had? Even the neighbors that mocked you, you would have some grief, right? So, after 150 days, the land appears. Noah and his family are able to walk on dry land. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. What now? God tells them to take dominion of the land, fill it with people, get more people on this earth. They got nothing but time in their hands, lots of time. It says Noah lived 950 years. Though after this, God said our average lifespan would be reduced to 120 years. And then the American diet was introduced, and that lowered that even further. So one day Noah starts a vineyard. Well, started with a vineyard. That's where we pick up the story in Genesis 9, verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah. And from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, I like it says some of its wine, I'm assuming it was more than some because he became drunk and he laid uncovered inside his tent. So here's our hero, Noah. This is what happens in a story after the credits roll, okay? Have you ever wondered what the happily ever after looks like? Noah, the hero of our story, who slayed the sin of the world by building this ark, and now he's going to start the world all over again because it was corrupted by sin, now is laying passed out naked in his tent. What happened, Noah? What happened? Well, at least it wasn't out in the middle of the field for all to see, right? I guess I'm trying to give him some props here. So Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his brothers, two brothers outside. So Noah, after all these years of stress, blew off some steam. No, I grant you, is not in the healthiest of ways by drinking too much wine. I give you that. And he proceeded to pass out naked in his tent. I mean, after all, he was just quarantined with his family for 150 days. We all remember the quarantine when we used to have to wear ties before that. Now we don't have to. And all those kind of habits that changed, right? His youngest son, Ham, comes in and sees the old man. It's a private fail. What does Ham do? He goes out and tells a quarter of the world. He told two people, and there were only eight people in the ark. Ham couldn't keep this information to himself. This was too important. This is too important not to share with brothers, right? There are several reasons why people gossip. We've already mentioned one, and that's to make ourselves look better than the other person. But another reason is to what? Is to fit in. There's something bonding about having juicy information. I think it's quite telling that it's brothers. Because I got something, I'm going to be in with you guys. I'm still part of the in crowd. Ham is the youngest son, so it's conceivable to think that maybe he didn't quite fit in at all times. I'm not the youngest child, I'm the oldest child, so I have little sympathy for you youngest children. You can find a way to fit in. Everybody likes you youngest children the best, you know that. But he wanted to fit in with his brothers. He had this golden nugget that the brothers did not have, and he wanted to get respect from them by sharing this story. He's going to bring the headlines of the day, because really it wasn't a lot of headlines, right? I mean, that was it. That's pretty much all that happened. They did something I ask anyone to do when considering gossip. And like I say, I feel blessed to be in a congregation that I don't, that's not the main thing that I worry about you about. I don't know if that, I don't even know if that was a sentence that I just said. But I've had congregations where this has been a concern of mine, where destruction can happen when somebody says something about somebody else and somebody else tells them somebody else, and that something that they told them is the telephone game that's not exactly what the first person told them. It's destructive. It's painful. It breaks up marriages. It breaks up churches. But I did tell them, in my workaday world, in the world of high-level pest control management, I just said, you've got two buckets. You come to my office and you tell me something about somebody. You've got two buckets. Here's your two buckets. You've got your water and gas. Is that right? Okay, water and gas. Doesn't matter. They can interchange. So these are the two buckets that you have. You have a choice. So when you hear something, person that's coming to me with this, I want you to pour water on it so fires don't spread and it doesn't hurt our business. It doesn't hurt our church family. It doesn't hurt the world. I mean, it may sound a little bit over the top, but it's true. Because I tell them one of the ways to pour the water is to get facts. Ask questions. Help solve the problem. Don't stir up more problems. That's exactly what Shem and Japheth do. Here they come. This is gorgeous. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father naked. Wow, how beautiful is that? Is that respect? Is that love? They protected their father when he had been a failure. He was a failure at that point. But they covered his sin and they cared for him. Now, I want to make a distinction. They didn't cover up because in a moment, we didn't cover it up, the problem. That's not the point. Because in a moment, we see how public the story gets. Yeah, you thought that was the end of it. It's not. Because here's the deal. It was Noah's story to tell. It wasn't Ham's. It wasn't Shep's. It wasn't Shem's. It was not Shep. Shem, it wasn't Japheth. It wasn't their job to tell the world. It was Noah's story to tell, to confess, not theirs. Covering up is loaded with shady secrecy and hidden agendas. I don't want you to hear out of that. What I want you to hear out of that is that covering is protecting. Covering is caring for. Covering is helping the person to heal first, not kicking them when they're already down. They covered Noah in his time fail. That's love. That, frankly, is doing something unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It just is, isn't it? Noah was covered. Noah was cared for. He wasn't gossiped about. Then look what happened. Noah made it public. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. The lowest of servants will be he to his brothers." He also said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the servant of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem. And may Canaan be the servant of Japheth." Keep in mind, this isn't a sermon on parenting. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't use this story if we were talking about parenting. Well, that's what I like about Scripture. What I actually love about Scripture is because it's raw and it's real. It's awful when we justify slavery with these verses. That's the too far that we go with this, like our ancestors did. But I love that we see an honest reaction. Noah curses Ham's bloodline, which we see here are the Canaanites, which the future of the enemy of Israel for centuries. By this one act, right? This shows you this long-standing pain and the overwhelming and crushing destruction of gossip. Like this proverb, it goes something like this. Oh, there we go. A perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. We just witnessed the separation between a father and a son because Ham didn't follow the golden rule to do unto his father what he would want done to him. So how do we cover someone when we hear gossip? How do we pour water instead of gas? I want to make it as simple as I possibly can. If you hear juicy information that you're not a part of the problem or solution, do your best to change the subject and put water on the fire. Then remember this, whenever you get information you don't know what to do with, here are the two places you take it. I don't think you need to write this down, but if you want to, you can. If you get information about somebody, you take it to the Lord or you take it to the person who brought it to you. If you take it anywhere else, you're part of the problem. You are a contagion. You are starting to spread the virus more. We know about stopping the spread, going back to COVID, right? You do that by taking it to the person directly or to the Lord. In those moments that you hear juicy gossip, it's imperative that you pause. Take a breath and listen to what the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is saying to you. It may be wise to remember this. What would I want them to do to me? It's usually a pretty good benchmark, right? And I have found more often than not when somebody brings me that news, I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the person who brought me that news. Because that's where the water's going to get poured. That person has to pour the water on, and I have to take the can of gas out of their hands. The Matthew 18 principle, for those of you who are familiar with that, that plays out well here. If you don't know what that Matthew 18 principle is, read it for yourself. There you go, thanks. It's not that long. Jesus tells us exactly how to handle conflict. And the first thing he tells you, just a spoiler alert, he tells you to go to the person first. That's the first step. And when you take the burden to the Lord, here's what's incredible about doing that, about taking that burden there. We actually see covering in the same way when the very first sin occurred. This is always one of my favorite. This, again, we're going back to now. Now there's two people that make up 100% of the population. So we're even dwindling it down to a smaller population, right? In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sin. Then we see God bring a curse on them. I'll make your pains and childbirth severe. I'm going to have a power struggle with your husband. And then he turned to Adam, and you, don't even get me started with you. Your labor is going to be a struggle. You're going to sweat and toil. Death has now come upon this land because of you. We see the wrath of God. We see the judgment of God. We see the holy indignation of God. It's a devastating moment in our human history for all of us. And yet, in the midst of it all, we see something absolutely incredible. The very next verse shows the character of God. We see the Lord take an animal and sacrifice it, and it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. What did you just see? God covered them. He took an animal and sacrificed it on their behalf to cover them, to clothe them, to protect them. Grace. That's who our God is. Now, this is obviously a foreshadowing, a prophecy of what was to come. Jesus, the perfect Lamb, was offered as the sacrifice because of death to us, to cover us. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is how we overcome the sin of gossip. Think of this covering like a superhero cape. He covers us. He protects us. And then by doing that, he empowers us to care for and protect other people. This world needs more safe people. Do you feel safe? Are you safe? When people share information with you, do you take it to the Lord? Do you do to them as you would want done to you? As we mature, that will become easier, but it will always be lurking as a temptation. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you being a spiritually mature congregation. And I'm also proud that you aren't settled for that, that you want to grow every day in the name, in the person of Jesus Christ, who covers our shame, who covers our guilt. Amen. Dear Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the reminder that me, Steve Place, am in the presence of people that want to become followers of you in the most visceral way. That helping others becomes second nature. That discounting information, unsolicited information about others and their faults, not only falls to the ground as rubbish, but gets doused with water. Help keep our buckets of water filled so that we can douse the pain and the sin of gossip, that divisive sin. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.